Let's all stand together. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Will join us at 1 p.m. If you have any questions, see Miss Sue Parsons. The Joy Club is Tuesday, November 27th at 6:30 p.m. If you have any questions, you can see Tammy Helmlick for that. Builders Club is Tuesday, November 27th at 6:30 p.m. and Rob Gardner is in charge of that. Our club mentors elementary kids grades 1 through 5. In their walk with Christ and life skills, the children are also writing to pen pals in Haiti. Club dues are $1, and the sign-up sheets and permission slips are on the foyer info center. Congratulations to Lucas Hudson on his first attendance patch, and to CJ Everly on his second attendance patch. There will be bus monitor training today following the service. You will get equipped by Pastor Ron, and he will teach a bus monitor course. We will have a blast, and you'll get all the tools you need to be an effective bus monitor. Everybody interested in our bus ministry is welcome to attend. We are updating our church records. If you are new to the church family, please take a moment to fill out Calvary information sheet so that we can better minister to you and your family. The forms are in the info center and can be turned into the office or placed in an offering plate. Okay. The Christmas cookie exchange. If you have any questions, see Heather Williams. Make one batch of your favorite cookies and exchange with other CBC bakers for many different cookies. The exchange will be on Sunday, December 3rd. please sign up in the info center. Thank you guys. Have a good day.
Everybody have a great Thanksgiving? Amen. Lots to be thankful for. You guys ready for Christmas? Who has their tree up already? Anybody? Wow. I think I'm going tree shopping Griswold style like tomorrow. I think I'm getting to go and get a tree. But you know what? I love Christmas. I know Pastor Joe is notoriously the Grinch. And he does that well. But I love Christmas. So we're starting now. We're all December long. We're going to be celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's all stand up together and continue with O Holy Night.
Oh,
us. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, Lord. We pray this morning that we would remember everything you've done for us, that our Thanksgiving would not end with a holiday and with a stuffed turkey, Lord, but that it would continue. We continue this morning, Lord, and all throughout Christmas, Lord, that we would be thankful for your son. And that our thankfulness, Lord, would not just cause us to have hope to ourselves, but also to share that hope with the world around us, Lord. God, I pray this morning that we would realize how much we've been transformed in you, and that it's our job to share that with the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
stronger. You are stronger. Sin is broken. You have saved me. It is written. Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of
all, Lord, to you surrendered all I am.
hand is yours. So Lord, we will stand. I stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. Offer this heart, oh God, completely to you.
I think you may be seated.
Please open your Bibles this morning to Psalm 15. And I was convicted a little bit of what I said last week. I told you that your pastor does no good, and none of us do any good, but I forgot one thing. When left to our own devices, we do nothing good. This is the only thing that guides us right. But this morning, we're going to read Psalm 15. And Psalm 15 is pretty much, you can sit until I'm ready. Psalm 15 is pretty much a guide for a Christian's life. It talks about who can be in the tabernacle. And today's tabernacle is our church. Who can be in it? It tells you who can be in it. Not who can be in it, but who should be in it. The character qualities that you should have in your life if you are a Christian. Question your own character. When we read this today, think about yourself and whether you match up to what God's word says here today, or whether you don't, and whether you need to consider some changes in your life. So I'll read the odd numbered verses, and please read the even numbered verses with me, and the last verse, verse 5, with me also. So please stand as in reverence to God's word as we read Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in my tabernacle? Who shall dwell in the holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. And Father God, we thank you for giving us a guide in life that shows us how to never be moved, a rock, an anchor, where we can put our anchor, a place where we can put our anchor so that we can't be moved, Lord, by the wind, the waves, the world, by anything, Lord. If we rely on you as our rock, Lord, thank you for showing us that. Thank you for giving us a psalm today that reminds us of that. And Lord, we bring to you our petitions this morning. We thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your righteousness, your grace, your mercy, your love, your forgiveness, and all that wrapped up into one individual, Jesus Christ, who represents his word, your word, Lord, that we have an opportunity to read every day. But Lord, we bring these petitions to you. Our unsaved loved ones, Lord, that need to know you, that we yearn in our hearts to have them come to know your Son. Lord, I just ask during this Thanksgiving holiday, during the Christmas holiday, that you would change lives, Lord. You would bring them to know your Son, Jesus Christ, that they might be part of eternity with us and with you. Lord, I pray for those that are traveling yet on this holiday weekend. One that I know of is John Minard, is traveling back from Georgia today. Lord, we ask you to give them all travel mercies. Keep them safe and bring them back to us with a joyous heart. Lord, I pray for my mother. She has pulmonary fibrosis, Lord. I just ask you to comfort her through that. Give her a peace of mind, Lord, knowing that she's going to be in your hands one day and in your arms. Lord, also for all those other petitions and prayers that I don't have listed here this morning, each and every one of these individuals in these pews today have those in their heart, Lord. I ask you to consider those. Lord, take each one of those petitions that they have, Lord, make them your own, as we know you always do, Lord. And we ask you to answer them according to your will. All those sick, all those that are spiritually sick, all those that are yearning to know more about you. And Lord, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I'm going to take up a little bit of pastor's time this morning by giving you a presentation on my trip to Mexico. Let me first start off by giving you a little bit of background. In early October, Pastor Alan Owens, I think he texted you or Facebooked you. Was it on Facebook, Allison? He Facebooked Allison, because I don't do Facebook. And he asked her if I would be available to go to Mexico to do some work that needed done down there in the OSY camp, the new OSY camp. And my first reaction was, don't have the money to do it. Can't do it. So that's what we told him. Keep me in mind for next time. Well, Allison went to Florida on a vacation, and I was reading the book, Lord Changed My Attitude Before It's Too Late, and I was reading the part where about faith, you replace doubt with faith in your bucket of, every one of us has a bucket full of either faith or doubt. And when your bucket gets kicked, when a request like this comes, what spills out of your bucket? Faith or doubt? What spilled out of mine was doubt. But that spoke to me. So I said, I gotta go. Even though I didn't feel like I had the money then to go on a trip, I said, if God wants me there, he's gonna provide. So, and he did, so it all worked out fantastic. I texted Pastor Owens and I told him, or I had Allison do it, and I said, I'm available. But he had somebody else that was gonna go, and he said, I'm okay for now. Then the other person backed out. So he says, you're on. So I went. He booked a flight from Dallas for me along with him, and Allison booked a flight to Dallas. So on the 5th of October, I 5th of November, I'm sorry, I flew to Dallas where Alex and Karen live now, and that's where Alan's staying with them. And then on the next day, we went to Mexico. So, but one thing I want to let you know, that Pastor Owens has been working on this new OSY camp ever since the last one was disbanded. And it's been a long, grueling process, but God works in mysterious ways. He works in different ways than we expect. And hopefully you'll see that when I share the photos and stuff with you, that you'll see that God's still working in Pastor Owen's ministry. And one thing I got to tell you, though, the people that are involved in this camp, Pastor Pepe, I have his name on one of the slides, so I don't remember his last name right now. He and his son Israel were all involved in this camp previously, in the previous camp, and they're all involved in this new one. And the new property where they have it is in Talmanalco. It's just outside of Mexico City. So the dangers of the other camp that were owned by somebody else, that's gone away. This Pastor Pepe, this is his property where this camp is. And he is on fire for the Lord just all the time. I need to tell you a little story about him. He helps people throughout the community. He was helping us. He was just befriending this one older fella who had a business to sell shoes in Mexico. And he would go to China to buy his shoes and bring them back and sell them in Mexico. And he didn't have anybody else in his family except his wife. And he asked Pastor Pepe, he says, can you, while I'm in China, just watch out for my wife if anything happens? Pastor Pepe says, sure. So while he was in China, his wife got sick, really, really bad sick. So she was talking to her husband in China somehow over using phones, I guess. And he said, well, hey, Pastor Pepe said he would help. So Pastor Pepe, they got a hold of him, and he took her to the hospital and took care of her, and everything turned out fine there. Well, after all of that, then Pastor Pepe saw this guy one time. He says, come on, I have something for you. He went down and talked to the guy, and the guy gave him a shoebox. And he said, here, present for you. And he's thinking, well, how did he know my shoe size? Because I never told him my shoe size. But he said, oh, that's okay. So he starts walking around through the streets of Mexico, and it's down in Topito, which is a really bad area of Mexico. And he's carrying this shoebox around with him. And when he gets back to the camp, he opens it up, and here's $20,000 in it, cash. He took that. That money was for him. But he didn't take any of it. He put it all in his camp for these kids, for these OSY kids. So it was all his. He's not a rich man. He doesn't have a lot of money, a lot of anything. But he gave it all. But on the 19th of this month, just a few days ago, was their first camp. So I need to look the other way. So I'm gonna go down off of the stage here, and Jace is gonna show you the slides as I tell you about the slides. Go ahead to the first one, Jace. This is a little bit fuzzy for me. Probably is for you guys too, right? But down in the lower part of Mexico, central part, just where the curve starts, that's where Mexico City is. You can't see it on there because it's so fuzzy. But right there is where Mexico City is, and Talmanalco is just southeast of that. So it's very close. Go to the next one, Jason. That's one of the. You can see the building on the left-hand side of that slide. That's the auditorium where they're going to be, where they already are helping the kids, where they take them in there and preach to them and talk to them and have fun and let them listen to songs. Go to the next one. And that's just a closer up picture of it. It's a little dark, and I apologize for our projector, but that's the way it shows. Next one, Jace. Just to the left of that building was where the cafeteria. It's an open cafeteria where they're going to feed the kids, and that, man, those are tough to see. But that, if you can see the shape of that mountain back there, that's what they call Sleeping Woman. It looks like a woman's face there, but it's all snow covered on the top. Just a view from the camp. Next one, Jace, and this one is an active volcano that's also within view of the camp, and it's called Popo, or Papa. It has a lot longer name than that, but I don't know what it is. But it's an active volcano. Next one. That's the stage before we started on it. It's a concrete floor and a concrete stage, and they wanted a 4-foot extension built onto that stage. Next one. That's a view from the stage to the back, and you can't hardly see it, but on the left of those chairs in the back is a sound room, just very similar to what we have back here, where all the sound equipment is and the lighting controls and everything. Next one. And that's a picture from the soundboard to the stage. So it's a pretty big auditorium, you see that, and it's, that's a lot blurrier than I can. All the sound equipment and all the lighting equipment was donated by the Metropolitan Church in Houston, Texas. That's Pastor Owen's brother-in-law's church. His brother-in-law is Lauren. I can't remember his last name. Next one. Lauren Hill, that's right. Okay, that's just, when we were down there, we went out to eat a couple of nights, and most of the time we ate right on at the campsite there. But that's from left to right, I'll go clockwise there. That was Israel, he's Pepe's son, and next to him was Tommy, and then you can see the guy with the big smile. Can you tell he's smiling? He got his head tilted like this. He has ADHD, so you can tell that by this picture, but he's a cool dude. And then next to him is, I wish I could see the names up there. No. Anyway, those are the guys on the other guys that are there. They were the lighting and sound crew that was with me, and they are experts at what they do. When they installed their lighting and sound system in this auditorium, it's amazing. It's just crazy. Next one. That's Rehina and Israel. Rehina is his youngest daughter. Next one. Israel is Pepe's son. That's Pepe on the Pastor Owens. You can just see his face, then Pepe, then Israel, then Cameron, and then Andy's the guy, the sound technician, and then you can't see his head, but Tommy, and then Arturo. Arturo was born in Mexico City, and he now lives in Houston, and he came at the last minute with those guys, and he was a big blessing to that crew because they were flying into Mexico City with none of them knowing any Spanish, but he was born and raised there, so he knows Spanish and English just very well, and he was able to interpret everything for them, so he was a critical part of the crew, too. Next one. That's Talmanalco there, the city on the right, and that's this on the left here, that's Pepe's house. That's where we stayed, in his house. And then there's Talmanalco, and on to the left of that is Mexico City, and I didn't take any pictures, but it's a vast city down there, and it's always covered with pollution. You can see a haze over it. And one thing I need to tell you, that every time Pastor Owens goes down there, it's a combination of the pollution and the altitude. He gets a severe headache. So all the time he's there, he has an extreme headache, and he just lives with it while he's there. So if you ask me, that's a dedicated servant. Next one. Just go through these ones pretty quick. That just shows you the next four, Chase, just goes through them. Just shows you kind of the ability of their sound and, not sound, but their lighting system. It's just amazing what it can do. And for young kids, it's just exciting for them. There's a little bit of the hazard. That was on the auditorium floor in there. That's a scorpion, yes. I couldn't think of that. So you can see Pastor Owens put his tape down there, so we see how big it is. Next one. Allison told me if I didn't get any pictures of me working, she didn't want me to come back, so I had to do that. So, next one. That's me too, but you can't see it. Go to the next one. And that's my working buddy there. His name is Daniel. He stays on camp there. He was when he was younger, he crossed the border illegally, walked across the desert to get into the United States, and his uncle took him as his son and claimed that, but ultimately the authorities found out that he was not a citizen of the United States, and they put him in youth detention, what do you call that? It's kind of like prison for kids. Juvie, that's what they call it, juvenile detention. But anyway, he spent time in there, then they shipped him back to Mexico. Now he stays at the camp there. He's a Mexican city. Next one. I had him down in a hole there to describe a piece of wood, so I put a cover on that hole. That's where their sound and lighting cords and everything come up. So I had him down in there with a little flashlight so he could scribe the thing so I could make a cover for that. Next one. And that's the completed stage. We put stairs on it, and you see those dark things in the middle of the front there? That's the subwoofers of the sound system. Next one. And that's just a picture from the background. The stuff on the stage is fiberglass that they're using for sound buffering. Next one. Same thing. Next one. This is a place called 20 de Noviembre, the 20th of November. That's the name of the community. That's one of the communities that they target for these out-of-school youth. Next one. And that's some of the kids on the street corners that they just have a spray bottle. They go out and they try to wash your windows on your car so they can make some money. And that just shows you some of the poverty that's there. Next one. That's a church that we went to near Topito. After we was all done building the stage and stuff, the way back to the airport, they took us down to Topito. And that's a church just on the very outskirts of the biggest black market in the world, according to Alan. And next one, we took our vehicle inside the church. That's how they have their church. It's just a long, narrow building, and they park their cars in there to keep them safe during the daytime, except on Sundays. They back them out of there, then they move the seats over, and that's where they have church for that church. Next one. That's one of 300 churches that Pepe is affiliated with to recruit OSY campers. That's a view of the marketplace in Topito, where they have all the black market stuff is behind the scenes and all this. And when we were walking through there, that's Fernando on the left. He was saved at one of the camps in the previous location, and that's Pepe on the right side there. I was following them through there, and I said to Pastor Owens, I said, these guys could teach me how to drive in Mexico, because to follow them, I had to really go back and forth and try to keep up to them, and that's the way that you drive in Mexico. You just push people out of the way. They do that with the cars, though. But next one, just another scene. It's really a crowded marketplace. And the next one, this shows, most of the vendors there have their wares on things like that. But this is Fernando on the left there. He's opening that door. He's sliding that out. You can't see it, but there's wheels on the bottom of that where it just turns and comes out. And then we went inside there. In the next picture, I'm looking down in there. That's looking down. That's Pastor Owens taking a picture up there. But that's looking down a stairway. You can see the lights down there. That's where we came in. The shadows on that are those clothing that were hanging on the rack. But this next one, this is a very poor quality of stuff. I go through these. Next one again. This is used to be a X-rated video, a theater. And now they're going to use it as a community center to disciple and minister to these youth that get saved at the OSY camps. They're going to take them into there here use it as a discipleship location, as a gathering place for them. And it used to be an X-rated video place. But these bags, they took to clean this up. The guy that owns it gave Pastor Pepe a 2-year free, rent-free lease on this so that he can use it for 2 years with no cost. But they had to go in there and clean it up. They took all kind of layers of everything out. And they loaded it in bags like that, so that you could, they had 11 triaxles of concrete and 3 triaxles of wood they took out of there by hand. They broke it up by hand and stuffed it in those bags and took it out and at nighttime and dumped it in these concrete or in these trucks so that they could haul it away. And the government gave Pastor Pepe a really good deal on the cost of that because they know the work that he does for the people of Mexico. But that's how they did it. They put it in bags and carried it out. And can you imagine 11 triaxles of junk? 14 actually total. I can't imagine that. Next one. And that's the Camina de Dios, Kitchen of God. Pastor Pepe uses that currently, and he has quite a while in the past used it to as a soup kitchen to anybody that wants to, doesn't have a place to eat. He brings them in there, and that's in the upper room, upper floor of that theater. Next one. And this is in the soup kitchen, and they're going to continue to use it as a soup kitchen. Next one. That's the soup kitchen also, and it's just a place where they have a propane tank and a burner, a couple burners there where they can heat stuff up and make food for the homeless and everybody else. Next one. That's just another view of it. You can't see it, but there's levels on the top there where you can see where the old theater seats were and stuff. Next one. And this is the camp, the first camp that they had on the 19th of November. They expect as many as 300 to 600 per camp. And it costs them $2, only $2 a day to feed them. I can't remember the numbers and I can't see them on there, but go to the next one. That's the camp staff right now. If anybody remembers Stuart Gunther, that's him kneeling in the front, and that's Pastor Owens on the far right there, on our right. And at the camp they had, like this past week, they had like 300 saved over 5 days. And they anticipate as many as 300 to 600 in each camp each day. And Pastor Owens was going to, the way he was going to do it, the way he initially planned, he said, he has no funding. He lost the Rawlings Foundation funding. Now he has to rely on Christians that want to support his ministry and other means of getting money. So what he was going to do is wait until they had like $3,000 to $5,000 saved and then schedule some camps. But on an email, when he answered some questions to me, he says, they took a step of faith and they scheduled all the camps for 2013. So he's got them already scheduled. He's trusting God to send the money. Pastor Owens no longer takes the money that is sent to him for his ministry. He doesn't take it to live because he now has a job in Richardson, Texas, in the, what's the name of the church? Canyon Creek Baptist Church. He's the Spanish minister for the Spanish speaking people in that church. So he doesn't take the money for his own self. The church now gives him a salary. But the money that is sent to his ministry goes to this camp. So and anytime you give to that, the souls that are saved, each one of those souls is a part of your account. When you go to heaven, your account says, okay, you're a part, you got a part of each one of those souls that were saved. So when you decide to not put your faith promise in the offering, you're depriving yourself. You're robbing yourself of blessings and glory when you get to heaven. So remember to do that. Thank you.
All right, Steve, thank you very much for that report. For those of you who are first-timers here, we don't normally do this, but Steve wanted to, he was so blessed by going to the OSY. OSY means out-of-school youth, if you didn't catch that. And they pick up all the people and from around the community and bring him in. And I think their first camp, they had 200 professions of faith. Is that right? 200? Something like that? Professions of faith on that first camp. Yeah, 300. Can you? Okay. It's pretty awesome. Steve, you let me about 8 minutes to tell you what I'm going to tell you. All right. And everybody says amen. Finally figured I'd get the amen corner going here. So, but thank you, Steve, for that. Everybody have a good Thanksgiving? Huh? Did you? Did you eat a lot of turkey? Yeah, I'll tell you what I ate. I got kind of full and, you know, stuffed. But I didn't have any leftovers because Sue didn't make a turkey this year. We went to some friend's house, and I invited myself because, you know. But they so graciously accepted my invitation to come there. And we had a great time. And what about the shopping? Did you guys get all your shopping in? Huh? Did you find some good deals? All right, you guys got to wake up a little bit. Come on, help me out here. All right, so what we're going to do this month, you know, in the past I've always talked about either the wise man or the shepherds or something like that, and had a series up to Christmas, and it's always been great, and we'll do that again in the future. But this year, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to, you know, why was Christ, why did God send Christ? Anybody tell me? Come on, speak to me. Huh? To seek and to save us, to seek and to save, amen? Is that why he came? Yeah, you know, and then, and then when he came to seek and to save, did he come for the righteous? No, right? Because there's none righteous, right? So who did he come for? The lost. Every one of us in this room, right? He came to that if whosoever, right, shall believe on his name will be saved. Amen? Well, anyway, so I started thinking about that and talked to Pastor Ron about it a little bit. And what we're going to do this week, or this month, is we are going to do Transformation Month. Transformation Month. And we're going to talk about each month, each week, about the transformation that took place in many of the biblical folks, like Paul, and we're going to talk about Mary just a little bit this morning, and we're going to talk about Mary Magdalene, maybe, and the girl at the well, and something like that. And so we're going to go through. So even though I just lost my train of thought here. Even though. Wow. Anyway, why don't we turn to Luke? Luke, chapter 1. I know what I was going to say. And there it goes again. All right, well, you know what? It's going around, okay? Last night I was here at Oasis, and I was feeling pretty good, and then all of a sudden, boom, it hit me. And I didn't sleep at all last night, feeling really bad all night and a little achy and stuff. So this morning I got here, and it was like, holy cow, I was going to have Pastor Ron preach this morning. I maybe should have, but... and then Jim comes up to me and says, hey, you know what, I got to go home, I'm feeling really bad, and it's hit all the kids, everybody's sick, everybody's throwing up and everything. I hope I don't get that bad, but I know what I was going to say. No, I don't. Anyway, let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Speaking of gifts, you know, the good gifts that we got and everything, you know, this month is going to be an awesome time. If you have somebody on your gift list that you don't know what to buy, why don't you give them the gift of Jesus Christ this month? because every week, every Sunday morning and every Saturday night, we are going to present the plan of salvation. And so it will be a great time to that person that you want to put on their gift list. You know, put on the fact that you want to give them the gift that keeps on giving, Jesus Christ. Amen? So you're going to know that every time you come here this whole month, in Transformation Month, that not only is the church going to be transformed and become a little more like Jesus Christ, but those lost folks that you bring and invite are going to get the gospel message and have an opportunity to receive Christ. And that's pretty awesome. So you think about that, and it is. It's just an awesome time. So today we're going to begin our journey looking at the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, and her transformation and her response to that gift of Jesus Christ. This day actually marks, and we don't talk about this too much here, but it talks about the beginning of Advent. And if you don't know what Advent is, it's the celebration or preparation of the arrival of Jesus Christ. And it actually means to the coming or the arrival. So the entire season is about the celebration of the birth of Christ, Jesus Christ, and the first Advent. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop about celebrating the event that happened, this historical event that happened 2,000 years ago. But we also celebrate the second coming. He's going to come again. Amen? And that's why we're here. We're here anxiously awaiting his return to take us with him and to go to heaven. And it's pretty awesome. But anyway, it is to celebrate the truth about God, the revelation of God in Christ, whereby all creation might be reconciled to him. Well, let's begin with a little background story. Let's go with Luke chapter 1, and let's begin in verse 39. Now, to set this up a little bit, the angel of the Lord has already talked with Mary, told Mary what is happening, the Holy Spirit had come on to her, and then she decides she's going to go and she's going to visit her cousin. So let's begin in chapter 1, verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salvation sounded in mine ear, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we just ask that you would bring the lost into this place, Father, so that they might hear your word, so they might accept your Son as Lord over their lives, Father, so that your kingdom will grow and you will be glorified in your Son Jesus Christ. And it's his name. Amen. Well, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with child and visiting her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. Well, upon her arrival, the baby, as soon as the salutation came, Elizabeth's the baby leapt in for joy in Elizabeth's womb, because even the life in the womb gives praise and glory to Jesus Christ, amen? And there is life in the womb, amen? So Elizabeth says, Luke 1:45, it says, And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Family, we can say the same thing. Can we give thanks and glorify him who has said that in all things He will be faithful. He will be faithful. He said that blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. She believed. And we need to believe. Take a look at Luke chapter 1, 46 down through 49. And we're going to go through Mary's song quickly. It says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty that hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." The first thing I want you to take a look at, the first thing we must take note of, is that Mary glorifies the Lord. After Mary hears the greeting from Elizabeth, Mary just breaks out into joy, admiration, and gratitude. She knew herself to be a sinner who needed a Savior. She had to rejoice in God and what he was doing through her. You know, we read Psalm 103 last week, and it begins with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Family, when we come in contact with the Holy Spirit of God, we can't help but to rejoice. Amen? Just like Mary did. We can't help but to proclaim who he is in our lives to anyone who we meet. Christmas is the absolute perfect time to be able to talk with people about Jesus Christ. And we feel great when we do that, right? Do you feel great when you give a good gift to somebody and they love it? They say, "Oh man, this is just what I want," whether it's a watch or whatever. "Man, you had it. You hit it right on. A great gift." Well, just think how great you're going to feel when you bring your lost friend to Calvary Baptist Church this month and they hear the gospel message and they receive Jesus Christ as Lord over their life. That's going to be awesome, isn't it? Just think what you're going to feel like building his kingdom. So consider who you might help this year. Is there someone in your life that could rejoice like Mary at the gift of Jesus Christ? So Mary, she magnifies the Lord. She rejoices in God, her Savior. Let's take a look at 48 and 49. It says, "For he hath regarded the low esteem of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Mary not only is praising God, but she confesses also that God knows everything about her. Her soul was rejoicing at her at who her God is. And the fact that she bears in her womb the Savior who one day will redeem her. And that overtakes her with joy. Verse 47 says, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Family, does your soul cry out to sing praises for the one who has paid it all for you? To glorify God in is private. You know, it can be private. It can be one of the most private things. But we must show him to all. Take a look at verse 50. "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." God's mercy is for all. This is a very important verse. Jesus was born into this world that whosoever shall be saved. There is no division. No division in race. No division in economic status, no division in social status. We all have the same opportunity. We were created for one purpose, and that was to worship God. Amen? We are commanded to worship, to fear, and to show him to all. Note the phrase, from generation to generation. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4 talks about that this generation needs to teach our children and to teach that generation. We are to take the time to teach the next generation, and this is evangelism also. Whether it's our friends or the little ones. Mary says, His mercy is for all of them. She says, His mercy is for all and all who hear it. Every day of the year is a great time to declare Jesus Christ to people, isn't it? But this time of year, most people are more receptive to hearing the word, and we have plenty of opportunity to speak about Jesus. After all, it is his birthday, right? So how do we declare him? Revelations chapter 12, verse 11 says, And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, And they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, once you are willing to declare your testimony, all you have to do is a couple of simple little verses. Once somebody sees you, it was kind of nice last night. We had a guest speaker. His name was Larry Georgiana, and a good friend of Pastor Ron's. And he came in and he was talking about evangelism and talking about the part that we need to go and evangelize. But first, he talked about the fact that, you know what? Sometimes, you know, we think that we're knocking on doors and we do a good job at knocking on doors and just presenting that plan of salvation to somebody. And we think that maybe they're going to accept Jesus Christ that way, or maybe they watch TV, an evangelistic message on television, and they come to Christ. Do you realize that less than 10% of the people in this world come to Christ that way? Do you know how that 90% of the people who come to Christ through a friendship, through a relationship, through a family relationship? That testimony that you have, and somebody's going to say to you, hey, you know what? If you're a good friend, and you're hanging around with people who are lost. Of course, you got to hang around with people that you're lost. And that, if you haven't heard the message, go on to yourcbcfamily.org and listen to the message, and you'll get the whole thing, because I'm probably messing it up a little bit. But those friendships, that testimony, that walk, that close walk, and they see you and they want to have what you have. So that's the testimony. And then all you have to do is tell them. And what Romans 3:23 says, you know what? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? We're all sinners in this room, aren't we? Yeah. Yeah. And then the wages of sin, 6:23, right? The wages of sin is death, but it doesn't stop there. It says, but the gift of God, the gift of life is eternal, is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And then go take them to Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart of man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when we show him to all, he will fulfill what he has declared. Now, let's go down through the rest of the thing here, the passage beginning in 51. It says, He hath showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Now, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 talks about God who has begun a good work in you, right? And he's not going to quit, is he, until it's completed. Amen? God is faithful. He cannot lie. If he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Mary reminds us of God's promises. He has already performed mighty deeds with his arms, like creation. He has removed rulers from places where they shouldn't be. Isaiah 24:21, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the hosts of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited." He has lifted up the humble. Consider the thief on the cross. He has filled the hungry with good things. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. He has helped his servant Israel, the promised land, and he continues to provide for them even today. He is merciful to Abraham's descendants. Are you experiencing God's mercy in your life? Do you want to share that with someone? Mary didn't get caught up in what Elizabeth said to her. Instead, she magnified the Lord and humbled herself to his will. When we live our lives like this, God reveals himself to us and through us. We must declare his glory to everyone we come across. So, family, this Christmas season, let's watch while God transforms us, those around us in his church, for his honor and for his glory. Would you all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed? This will be a good month to bring your lost friends. So I want you to make sure that you come out. I want you to make sure that you bring that lost friend so that he can hear the transforming power of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord over your life, today's might be a great day to do that. If God has spoken to you in some way, and you have that desire to just receive him into your heart this morning, I want to pray a prayer with you this morning. And if you have the desire to invite Jesus Christ into your heart, why don't you pray this prayer with me? Dear God, I admit I am a sinner. I understand my sin has separated me from you. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me and rose again from the grave to offer me this gift of eternal life. I open the door to my heart and I invite Christ in to be my personal Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me your child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen. Has anybody prayed that prayer this morning? Raise your hand. Anybody? Anybody pray that prayer? All right. I'm going to open up the altar and just for a brief moment while Pastor Ron and the band plays just one or two verses of invitation. And if you're having some problems this morning, if you really need to come and just come and lay some of the things that's going on in your life down at the altar, won't you come? Maybe you want to come down and just say, hey, you know what, God, I do have a friend and I want to pray for them right now. I want to pray for them and I want to bring them and so that they might have an opportunity to hear the gospel message. I've been talking with them and they kind of understand it, but they've not been ready enough to accept. But I want to bring them and so that they can hear that message. Won't you come and just pray for them just for a few minutes? Or if there's anything else, if you're looking for a church family and this is where you want to be, why don't you come on down and see Steve and say, Steve, I want to join. I like it here. This is an awesome body of Christ.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, and all for the sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. And you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Gracious God, we thank you so much, Lord. Like Mary, Father, we want to be able to praise you with joy and adoration, Father. We just love you so much. And Father, we just ask that you would bless this body of yours, Lord, with many salvations this month, Father. Many baptisms. God, for your honor and for your glory and to build your kingdom, God. May we be transformed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Y'all be seated, please. If I can get a few men to come up. Jim's not here today to give you his little spiel and his little talk, so, we exercise our giving muscle when we give, and just ask that you consider what you might be able to do, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again, Lord, and we just ask that we be good stewards of what you have given us, and that we give back to you, Lord. We just ask as we leave this place today that everything that is said and done honor and glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Let's all say it together. Sing that chorus.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. And you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful
to. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll see you back Wednesday.